This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, Mike Luoma. Let me tell you a story. I'm telling you the story of the Starseeds of Earth. We are deep into this one. Alibi Jones and his people on the Hornet's Nest have a starseed. They've gotten one. They've gotten it to open up. They've opened it. And there were two elements inside of it. And now those are hidden in a safe in Alibi's office. But Alibi Jones is just about to get entangled a little more with someone he maybe shouldn't. I'll let you decide who I mean, because our two chapters today provide two very different encounters. Alibi Jones and a couple of the women in his life. On this episode, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Little bit of book news first, and I do have news. I promised an announcement. Drum roll, please. Trumpets or something. I'm dead. I promised an announcement today on this podcast, so here it goes. I'm very happy to announce a special 15th anniversary illustrated edition of the novel Vatican Assassin, with a cover and 10 interior full-page illustrations by my friend and great artist, Federico Guillen. You've seen his Alibi Jones cover art on Alibi Jones, The Sunrise of Her, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. He did the cover for The Adventures of Alibi Jones, number one, the comic book, which is also the cover for 6 short stories. And now, he's going to be illustrating a few key moments in the novel, Vatican Assassin, for this very, very special 15th anniversary edition. I've decided I will lightly update the text. It's not going to be rewritten or re-edited in any kind of like heavy way, but occasionally corrected, made better. I've been going through the book pretty thoroughly lately, and there are just a few tweaks I really want to make. But most of all, I'm very excited to be, again, working with Federico Guillen on art. Oh, he did Good Samaritan. I don't think I mentioned Good Samaritan Under Dust. It's here in my notes. I look back. Which is, of course, amazing. Excellent color by Ken Lettier on that, too. The two of them together. Whoa. And I should say, too, that, you know, since that time, that was like one of the first comic books that Federico ever worked on. His style has evolved a lot. He's been going through training and such, too. Got a Fulbright scholarship, so it will be very cool to see how he brings these scenes with BC to life. And the plan, of course, is to release this in November in time for the 15th anniversary. If all goes according to plan, it never does, but, you know, we're going to put that out there. Hey, universe. There is another anniversary idea that I'm kind of prepping, but haven't yet pulled the trigger on, so to speak. I did float the idea past one friend of mine. We'll see what he thinks. I'm kind of exploring the idea tentatively this weekend. Maybe I'll have another announcement soon. I don't know. We shall see. So that's the big news this week. A brand new 15th anniversary illustrated edition of the novel, Vatican Assassin. So this isn't a graphic novel. This is the novel, but with some new illustrations, 10 new interior illustrations by Federico, plus a brand new cover, new cover art. Before we get into the chapter, I'd like to remind you, if you could, and you do enjoy what you've got coming at you, if you want to support this podcast, please become a patron. Head to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And there you can sign up as a patron of the podcast and my science fiction. You can do that for $2, $5, or $10 a month. If, you know, you feel like it's worth it to you. I'm not going to charge for this podcast ever. But that's what's out there if you want to support it. It's kind of like public radio, but with a lot less pressure. Plus, I do give my patrons things. Right now, they're getting a special second podcast, which features the background timeline for Vatican Assassin and Alibi Jones. And it's being told from the point of view of a character we met earlier in this book, The Starseeds of Earth, the Archmage, who told Alibi he's been around since the days of the Ancient Enemy. So, he's got a little perspective on things. He's really my framing device, if you want, setting it up and closing it off. But right now we're in the middle of it, and patrons are getting that. They also got this announcement about Federico working with me on this illustrated edition back on Thursday. As soon as I confirmed it with Federico, I was like, I gotta tell somebody, and I told my patrons. So that's some of what you get. You also have access to all 500 and what? 76. You'll have access to every single episode I've ever created in the Glow in the Dark Radio archives. Because even at my hosting site, I've got so many episodes now that the early ones are not there. But you can get them if you're a patron. It's part of the deal. Again, to get into all that, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. We have two chapters on the way from The Starseeds of Earth today. We'll get into chapter 65 next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 65 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones spotted Laurel Eden waiting for him as he made his way back towards his office. She smiled. Wonder what's going on in that head of hers. As Alibi had the thought, he could sense impressions coming from Laurel. She thought he was a good-looking young man. Not her type, really. She liked them taller, a bit more solid, but she could appreciate him all the same. And he looked happy, which always made people look better. Maybe I don't want to know. She called out as he approached. Alibi! Hey, Laurel, he said. What can I help you with? Can we talk in your office? Sure. He opened the door and gestured for her to go ahead. Have a seat. Thank you, she said. She settled into one of the chairs in front of the desk. What's up? Alibi asked. I'm running into trade problems with Depot, she said. You should know. They're starting to go after people who base their ships here. How so? They're claiming we need to pay extra fees to land on Depot. Because it's not our home base, she said. We're supposedly in the Solar Alliance. They can't claim us as part of the Solar Alliance and then say ships based here aren't in it. That's out of whack, Alibi said. Well, they tried it on me, she said. Then again, no one there does me any favors anymore. I used to have all kinds of ends. Oh, let's not go there. I know who your ex is. Let me look into this. See if it's happening to other ships, Alibi said. And if they try it on you again, tell them you're charging it to me, and they need to speak with me if they want to get paid. You'd do that for me? I'd do that for any captain and ship who base themselves here, Alibi said. This is a tariff, a trade issue, a penalty on this base, this station. It's unacceptable. The look she gave him was hard to read, and a little intense. You've changed some, she said. Really? Alibi said. How so? You're... Don't take this the wrong way, but... You're more grown up. Mature. Not trading on being the kid anymore. Is that good? I don't know, she said. That remains to be seen. It's not quite as charming and endearing, but... She grinned, and Alibi thought of a great cat about to feast. It is more... Let's call it charismatic. Really? Alibi said. Interesting. For me? It's more like everything is a giant pain in the ass. I don't feel charismatic. But you still feel, she said. Don't lose that, Alibi. If it stops bothering you, if you stop feeling, you'll know you've lost it. She got up from the chair. You care about people. You love people. Don't lose that. Alibi stood up. I'll try not to, he said. Don't, no matter what happens, she said. People can suck, Alibi. They betray you. I've told you that before. But don't let that change who you are. She shook her head. Thank you for backing me up and not questioning me. You're welcome, he said. I was serious. I know, she said. She turned and walked out of the office. That was weird. Why was she really here? I was going to ask her to help us with the project, be one of our ships, but something was off. Could I have read her mind and found out what she was really up to? Can't start down that road. Alibi told his assistant to contact Hector Ruiz. Let's see what Hector's heard about new fees. Hey, Alibi, Hector said over the comm. Where are you, Hector? You in system? Nah, in flight, Hector said. Out to Sterling. What's up? Have you heard about Depot charging ships from Hornet's Nest extra landing fees? What the hell they are, Hector said. We aren't going to stand for that, right? So you've heard about this? Well, just now from you, Hector said. You're not calling to tell me this? No, someone told me this, Alibi said, and I wanted to know if you had heard about it too. Oh, sorry, Hector said. No, I haven't. That kind of stuff makes my blood boil. I wouldn't put it past Gentry, though, to be honest. Yeah, it might be a specific case, Alibi said. Thanks for letting me bug you. Let me know if you do hear about anything. You betcha, Hector said. Have a good day, Alibi. See you, Hector. The comm clicked off. Should I call them? How badly do I need to know what's up? Not that bad. I'm not calling her or talking to him. Have to wait and see. Chapter 66. Alibi looked over Emily's shoulder at the display upon which she was moving things around. She had been able to get the math done in just a couple of days. So, as you can see, we've accounted for just about every rock in our neighborhood, or that passes through our neighborhood, Emily said. And we can predict their movements out for almost a month and a half now, predict patterns and possible pathways for the Hornet's Nest. She turned back and looked up at him. There are no clean routes, she said. Any way we go, any time we go, we'll need to move some rocks out of our way. It's not going to be easy. So how is it we've been able to sit here so long, relatively unscathed, Alibi asked. This asteroid belt is pretty old, Emily said. It's built to a sort of equilibrium over the eons. There probably was a lot of smashing and crashing for a while, but in the distant geological past, it's pretty stable now. Which leads me to another point. Oh, Alibi said. I think I see where you're going. If we move, we're not going to be able to just come back here and take back our place, are we? No, she said. And yeah, that's where I was going. We're going to upset that ancient equilibrium. When we move, we're going to need to keep moving and get out of this belt. There won't be any place to get back to after we move. I see. So, she said, we need to figure out where we are moving to before we get moving. No turning back, Alibi said. So, Emily said, are you sure you want to do this? Yes, I do, Alibi said. We need to be able to move. Better we do it our way than have to scramble when under attack or something. Good point. Well, keep running the predictions and see if the patterns show us the best time to move, Alibi said. I'm going to research possible new locations. I already know the patterns and the times, she said. Of course you do, because you're awesome. He grinned at her. What? She asked. You're awesome, he said. That's all. She jumped up a little and pecked him on the cheek. A little kiss. So are you, she whispered to him, before she sat back down. She turned back to the display. We get our clearest path every 3.5 weeks, she said. Next time it appears is 4 days from now. Next after that is 4 weeks. 4 weeks at the earliest, then, Alibi said. That gives us some time to prepare, Emily said. And call in some ships, Alibi said. And some favors, she said. While we keep it hush-hush, he said. That's not going to be easy. How many ships do you think we'll need to do this? At least 10, she said, though I'd rather have 12 or more. We've got me, you, Kit, Hector, Bob, Alibi started. Not me, Emily interjected. I'm going to need to be in here. Then we've got 4, he said, so far. What about what's her name? Emily said. Ms. Whateverbutt. Laurel? I don't know. She was acting a little weird the last time I saw her. Came to complain about new landing fees at Depot. But no one else knows anything about them. Could Gentry be targeting her? Maybe, Alibi said. They used to be an item. Really? Wow, she likes them old, huh? Emily said. She frowned. I'm sorry, that just came out. No, that was my first thought, too, to be honest, Alibi said, and he laughed. You never stood a chance then, Emily said. She laughed with him. With old Ms. Shapelybot. Nope, Alibi said. Although when she was acting weird, she did say she thought I'd gotten more mature. Don't tell me that, Emily said. Not when you just told me she likes older men. Still, I'm not her type if she loved Gentry, Alibi said. Well, Emily said, invite her to help anyway, if she's here. But do it close to the actual move, so she doesn't have a lot of reaction time, just in case she's up to something. If she's a part of our project that last week, our behavior won't seem suspicious to her, and it'll keep her close by, where we can see what she's up to. And who knows, she might be able to help. Okay, Alibi said, we'll keep her in mind then. Can you think of anyone else? That assassin friend of yours? Katie? She the one with that anthropomorphic alien armor? That's Katie. Her, yeah. She'll do it if we pay her, Alibi said. Then we pay her, Emily said. Does that buy her confidentiality, too? Should. So that's 6, right?
Right.
We're getting there, she said. Does your Aunt Anita fly a ship?
No.
Why so upset? I'm not talking to her right now, Alibi said. Ha! See? If Ms. Shapelybutt heard you there, she wouldn't be finding you more mature. At all. I don't care, Alibi said. She's not acting very mature. At all. Ms. Shapelybutt? Emily teased. No, my aunt, Alibi said, a little louder than necessary. He looked around, a little sheepish. Sorry, he said. She's following her heart, Alibi, Emily said. I kind of respect that. You do? I do, she said. A mature, established woman like her, deciding she was done working for everyone else and indulging in some me time with a younger man she dug, after everything she's done in her life? She's earned it. You think so? Yeah, Alibi, I do, she said. And if you weren't so stubborn, you could see they've been making overtures to you. I've seen it. You really need to pull your head out of your ass when it comes to your aunt. What? Why are you smiling? I love how you call me on my shit, Alibi said. That's all. That's all? She got up from her chair and faced him, inches away. Are you sure that's all? She said in a soft voice. All what? He asked. All you love. About, you know, me. Did I say love? Emily cut him off by kissing him, leaving Alibi no choice but to join in. Then he stopped and pulled back and looked down. What's wrong? Emily asked. Nothing, Alibi said, looking back up into her eyes. Isn't that time travel stuff again? When Alibi antagonized the time-traveling Devrisium, they declared war, at one point attempting to exile Alibi into a dead-ended timeline where he was an old man, married for years to Emily. A different Emily in a different timeline, but somehow, still, the same as the one now in his arms. Alibi didn't know what to say. It is, isn't it? Emily said. I can tell. She broke away from their embrace. Emily paced across the control room and back. I feel like you're blaming me for something I didn't do, she said, too loud. I'm not blaming you for anything, Alibi said. I'm just, now that this is happening between us, I'm not sure I want to live a predetermined life. It feels confining. Confining, she frowned. And how is this predetermined? You don't know that. I grew old with you, Alibi said. In that other timeline, she said. But what are you so worried about? Has anything in this timeline happened the same as in that other one? Not really, but I hate being forced into anything. Am I forcing you? She was getting angry now. He could see that. No, you're not. Please, don't be mad, he said. You are innocent and awesome. She smiled for a fraction of a second. He saw it. Then she frowned again. I am mad, she said. You're impossible. You know that. I'm sorry, he said. This can be hard. Mostly it's faded, but there are times I remember. This whole set of phantom memories returns, a lifetime's worth, longer than I've lived here now, for real. But you're right. Nothing in this life has really gone the way it did in that one. You see? She stared at him to make her point. He nodded. Her frown lifted, but Emily didn't smile. I hope you do, she said. So, go somewhere else and think about it for a while. I don't want to see you right now, and I have work to do here. Okay, he said. I am sorry, Emily. I'll try to get my shit together on this. Please do, she said. She turned back to the display and began poking at entries in front of her, ignoring Alibi away. He decided not to push her and made a quiet retreat. Alibi found himself lost in his thoughts as he left the main engine section and walked back to his apartment through more familiar corridors. The other lifetime is only part of it. I can't tell her the other part. She's been warming up to me ever since I touched the starseed. And since then, she's been able to hear me when I think out loud. So I have to wonder, worry. Is this real? Can I be sure I'm not doing this to her? Because I wanted it? Could I have made her fall in love with me? That was Chapter 66 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, that went well. Oh, Alibi. guy cannot get out of his own way. At least not with Emily. We'll see about Laurel. And we'll see how Alibi's plans begin to come together. Hope you'll join us on our next episode for that. We're also going to be checking back in with Hap, Alibi's half-brother, who is up to absolutely no good, as you might imagine. That's coming up next week on our next episode. A recap of our news this week. Earlier, I announced that we are going to be doing a 15th anniversary illustrated edition of Vatican Assassin for the 15th birthday of the book coming up this November. I can't believe it's 15 years, really, but okay. I guess I'm getting old. But Federico Guillen, yes, will be doing 10 interior full-page illustrations and a cover illustration. Something to look forward to. And please consider supporting this podcast by becoming a patron at either $2, $5, or 10 bucks a month by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. That's all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.